Come thou fount of every blessing. The Lord's blessings can be upon us this morning as we meet in the precious name of Jesus. I'd like to turn over to Joshua, the first chapter. And if my voice gives out, I told him I'm just going to sit down. Brother Joe can preach longer. So we'll see what happens. Joshua, the first chapter, starting there in the very first verse. And as we read this chapter, I'd like for each one of us to think again of the godly men and women that have influenced our lives and that we hold dear to ourselves, people that have cared about us when we were growing up, when we were going through struggles. I'm thankful for those godly men and women who were willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and to take the brunt of whatever came their way, but willing to do it for you and for me, aren't you? And in turn, that we can think about that God can use us. He can use you and you and me to notice someone that is in need, notice someone that needs some help, and then to do something about it prayerfully, stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Joshua, the first chapter. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this is something that I sometimes like to do, is especially on a verse like this, it'd just be nice to sit down and sort of figure out exactly what land he's talking about here for the people of Israel. He said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun. You know, Lebanon is on the top. The river, the Euphrates River, is over there more, I think, to the east, and the Mediterranean Sea then to the west, unless I have my directions mixed up. And the wilderness, I don't know if he's speaking particularly about the big sort of a desert area that's especially south of there. That would pretty well lay it out. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There's some real encouraging scriptures here. If you can just think about it this morning, let the Lord apply this to you personally. I flip through my Bible sometimes, and some places I have marked more than others, and I would run onto some of these scriptures, and it was an encouragement to me as I read it. He says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Some time back here, a while back, I think I was needing a little bit of encouragement, and opened my Bible up, and right there in front of me, the scripture said, my son, be strong. And I thought, that's wonderful. And later I was thinking about that. I want to find that scripture. Well, it took me a little while to find it, but it meant something to me. It was like a personal message from God to me. And I appreciate it, and I still do. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Here he says it again. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Maybe before we go any further, let's just bow our heads for prayer. And then we'll go on there in verse 7. Father, this morning we thank thee for the privilege of being able to come together this way to worship thee with thy people. We realize, Lord, that the day is very quickly approaching when we shall all of us leave this world behind and find wherever we've prepared the place for thy people, or if we have not prepared. And we pray that thou will help us, that these scriptures might be an encouragement to us to press onward and upward and to be strong in the Lord and to be willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be those that can be counted upon even when the times are rough. Help us, Lord, that we might learn to lean upon our Heavenly Father. We just ask for thy will today in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Here again, isn't it in the first psalm that it speaks about meditating day and night upon the law of God? This scripture says that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. When we were talking about praying and taking time to pray this morning in our Sunday school class, and I think that it was mentioned that Brother Pablo Yoder had said something about what would it be like if we took 10% of our time to pray like we give 10% of our money, and 24 hours would be 2.5 hours a day that we'd take especially just for prayer and getting alone with the Lord. And then there was different ones mentioned that even throughout the day, that we can give the Lord all of our time. As we drive down the road, our hearts and minds are meditating on the things of God, and our hearts are lifted to Him in prayer. We sense His presence coming down, dealing with us and speaking to us. And as we work with other people, we're always in an attitude of prayer and seeking for the divine guidance of the Lord. So he said, meditating therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now here he's talking about someone that is willing to be used of God. Someone that is willing to be used of God. Am I and are you, are we willing to be used of the Lord? That was one thing that back when I first started preaching, that I had told the Lord, if the Lord gives me an opportunity, then I'm going to do my best. And he's going to have to take care of the rest because I can't do it. But I at least can give myself in the work of the Lord to be available to be used in however he wants to use me. And you know, I think it's an important thing in the church when we're asked to do something that we don't just lightly push it off and say, well, no, I can't do it, or somebody else can do it better than me. Because doesn't the Lord speak through his people and through his church to ask us to fill certain places and to be willing to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge? You know, it's easier just to withdraw and let somebody else stand in the gap. I had to think of those little children's books we have in our bookstore. Some of you have read them. And I still like to read them. The ones on, one of them is Maneaters and Massey Spears. Some of you remember some of those little books. They're quite exciting. Anyway, in the books, it was talking about the missionaries that had gone down into Africa and how that in this one village, they were all stirred up because this big man-eating lion had been coming into the village and grabbing a full-grown man and taking him out. And night after night, this had been happening. And they build up the big hedge around the village with thorn bushes and all kinds of things, piled it up and tried to build it higher and higher where this lion couldn't get in there. And they built the fire up. But time after time, this big lion, evidently he would find a place that was maybe a little lower, a place where he could jump over. And when everybody thought that the scare was all over, and the lions had stopped roaring, and you know, they knew that a lot of times they would roar, and then after that you better watch out because that's when they tried to get their prey. But maybe for tonight they wouldn't come. But here again, as they were all in their little huts and trying to sleep, this big lion leaped over the hedge that they'd built up and came in and grabbed one of the missionary boys himself and started dragging him out. Are we willing when we see that there's a weak place here or a place that the enemy might come in? And it's not popular to talk about this weak place. People don't like to know about their faults. But are we willing to be willing to stand in that gap, to make up the hedge, and to be faithful? Or are we men pleasers more than God pleasers? You know, is it, will we just leave the village or the people unprotected? Do we love the people enough to put ourselves on the line and in the gap and allow God to use us to plug up those gaps where the enemy can't come in like a roaring lion? In Ezekiel, it speaks about that. And he said in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me, for the land, that I should not destroy it." But it was a sad place here, he said. "But I found none. I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." This was a sad situation. There were a bunch of false prophets that simply were taking untempered mortar and dabbing it on, just something that wouldn't hold water. They were making their cisterns that wouldn't hold water. We need something that will hold. I remember back in down at Rogersville High School when we were in a shop class, a vocational agriculture shop class, and we were learning how to weld. And they took a flat piece of metal and they took a pipe that was cut perfectly around the end, set the pipe down on the flat piece of metal, and then you were supposed to put a bead, weld it to the flat piece of metal. And then you would pour water in it and see if it would hold water. Your weld had to be, there could be no little places around there where water could get through. Well, I started welding, and I put the pipe on the flat piece of metal, and I welded it around there, and it wouldn't hold water. So I took my thing, and it was leaking over here, so I run another bead right in there and tried it again. It wouldn't hold water. I went around some more, and I piled it on. By the time I got done, I had a pile of welds around that thing. It was piled up. My teacher said, "Well, you know, why don't you just start over? Because if you do it right and penetrate right, one bead should do it. You should get it down there and be sure that that thing has no breaks in it and just go solidly around one good bead that is done right should make it where that will not hold, where it will hold water. And I finally made it somewhere or another where it pretty well didn't leak water. But I had to think about that. You know, that's maybe sometimes the way it is that we try to patch up church life, patch up our own lives, try to help other people. We just patch a little here and patch a little there and patch a little over there. And, you know, if it doesn't hold water, we wonder why this thing doesn't work. But particularly in this scripture, is it said that they were using untempered mortar. Now I'd like to read a little more there in Joshua, the first chapter, and starting with verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. If I can know that, I don't have to know anything else. If I can just simply know that the Lord is with me, then nothing else really matters. I don't have to have $1,000 in the bank. I don't have to know how everything is going to turn out. But if I can simply know and have the confidence that the Lord is there and he's working out things his own way, then I'm completely satisfied. He said here, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God, that's personal, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua, he remembered back. These were the people that at times had rebelled. These were the people that had told Moses, you've just brought us out here in the wilderness to let us die. These were the murmurers. These were the complainers. Was he willing to stick out his neck and to be used of God to lead these people? And I believe that he was willing because he knew that the call was from God. He wasn't pushing himself into that place, but he was making himself available for whatever use that God had for him. And I'd like for you to notice then in the last part of that chapter, when Joshua took command under the direction of the Lord in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And I think this was probably a real high point in Joshua's life. Because if you remember back just a little bit before this, it was when Joshua and Caleb and these other spies went into the land to check out the land. And there were, most of them came back and said, oh, we're just like grasshoppers in front of them. They're huge giants and we can't do anything. But Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take the land. It's not because that they had bigger swords and bigger spears and more muscles and all that type of thing. Not by might nor by power, but by spirit, the scripture says. And they realized the God that they served. And you know, when you and I realize that God is high and lifted up, and we realize what God can do, then we don't lean so much on what we can't do. And we don't look at our weaknesses and our failures, but we want to know the mind of the Lord. We want to know what he wants us to do. And then if that's what his will is, we're willing to take a step of faith and go right on one step at a time. We don't have to cross bridges down there that we may never get to. But it's just one step at a time, and every day walking in the light, just one step at a time. Sometimes we've got bridges that we try to cross that we'll never ever cross. But the devil says, oh, look down there. If you go this way, you're going to have to cross there, and there's no place for you to get across. There's no way. But we can know that if God says, go this way, then by the grace of God, I'm just going to start right out and God will make the way. I guess it could have worked out this way. In verse 11, he said, pass through the host and prepare the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. How are you going to get across the Jordan? There's no big bridge. But thankfully, this time they could look back and remember when the Lord had made the way for them to cross the Red Sea. And when they crossed the Red Sea, they had nothing to look back and think, well, the Lord's going to roll that thing back and let us go through there. But faith in God was what won the victory. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, Lord, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it. I like that. If you want to underline something, that'd be a good place to do it. You know, when you mind God and when you obey him, there comes a place that it's not all just battles. It's not all just rough places. But after the battles, he gives us some times when we can have an oasis, a time for rest. And we need it, don't we? We're human, very human. We need a time when we can just relax and thank God for the victory that he's given us, and that he knows that he won't allow us to go through something that we can't stand or can't go through, but he will make a way of escape if we trust him and move ahead. And then he will, as we take possession of the land, we can enjoy it, which Moses and the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sunrise. Now notice the last few verses of this chapter. And I think these would be some good, real good, strong, challenging promises for us to get a hold of and to make as our own desires. In verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Here was a man of God, a man that was in contact with God, a man that they trusted. And as he moved under the power of God to be the right kind of a leader, they were willing to say, here we are. You tell us what to do, and we're willing to follow. I tell you, that would be a crowd that would be hard to defeat, wouldn't it? And if we can do that in our Christian lives, the devil can't defeat us as long as we walk with the Lord. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. And this chapter closes in some of the most special words that we've read already down through here. And may this just be to you personally this morning. Only be strong. Be strong. Brethren, sisters, young people, be strong in the Lord and of a good courage. Jesus has made the way before us. He bled, he died, he gave everything that we can make it to heaven. And we can be strong and be courageous and see the end of a good race. Let's kneel in prayer.